I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good morning.
And good night. Wait a minute. Don't interrupt us, Cannabis. This is our intro. God damn it. Do it again.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
Oh, and also while we're at it, Sife.
Yeah. Hey, Peter.
Hey.
We don't hear anything.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
You're just bopping your head. Looking like.
Oh, I was playing Get Retarded by our guest today, Cannabis, ladies and gentlemen.
Cannabis, what up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yo, Biss, man, thank you so much for joining us today. So glad this this worked out.
How you doing, Mr. Rosenberg, Cypher?
Really good, man.
Cannabis.
Sife, Cannabis is a name you and I have tossed around for a long time about wanting to talk to him.
Cannabis is like, I'm going to explain throughout the podcast, but Cannabis is like my little brother from a group home, but he went to go live with his mom. You know what I mean? Like we have friends that I know so much about Cannabis that he don't know that I know. And wow. Also, Cannabis is the first rapper to ever say my name on a piece of vinyl.
Wait. Yep. Hold on. First of all, let me do this right again since it didn't come through to you guys. Is that better?
Yep, that was good. We taught
it. Woo. So, Sife, wait. When did Cannabis shout you out on record?
I don't even remember the song. But he shouted out a bunch of DJs.
But you were one. You were considered an actual DJ.
But it was my first time in the era of when we just have vinyl where I could scratch my name.
Yeah, that's big.
We didn't have CDJs back then. We didn't have Serato where you could literally just say anything, put it in your Serato, and cut it up.
Right, right. And for people who may not know, just to give a little bit of background, like obviously everyone who listens to Juan Epp knows Cannabis. But I do think it's important, you know, for some of our younger audience to understand that in 97, yo, Cannabis was so popping. Like, Cannabis, when I started college radio, your records were so big. I remember Cannabis. You remember when you did Universal put out the promo that had How We Roll on one side and the freestyles, all the radio and mixtape freestyles on the other side? You remember that?
Yeah, somewhat.
It was like, They had like, say, if you remember this promo, it had like four or five of his freestyles on one side. And that's how scorching hot you were in that moment, was that people just wanted to play the freestyles from other people's shows. So
other people say, yep.
Like, that's how crazy shit was. So I guess the thing in never talking to you on the record before, like, how did it all start for you? Because by the time we kind of got hip to you, it was already, for me at least, Sife, it was already happening. Like, the motion, you were already in motion and sort of blowing up how did the actual, what were the early beginnings of cannabis? A guy who a lot of people credit in some ways as being the first guy, like the guy who invented internet rap, the first internet rapper. How did that all get started?
You asking me or Cyphers?
I'm asking you.
Oh, okay.
The fuck they want
to
hear from me?
I can talk to Cyph any day I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beginnings, I mean, it's a long time ago, right? My memories of it is like, I'm sure I can't be 100% accurate about everything, because I know that I was signed in, I signed my contract Universal in 96, September 8th of 96. Okay. And then the album didn't come out till September 8th or 9th of
98.
Yeah, so I was on Universal for 2 years, and I just remember pretty much like doing a mixtape campaign. I was campaigning like on my own. I started on my own, campaigning on my own. I literally mean like on my own, like being downtown at Hudson Street where Hot 97 was, Killer Priest, some guys, Pumpkinhead. I remember.
Shout out to Pumpkinhead.
Shout out to Pumpkinhead. Some guys out there by
rest in peace,
Great
Pumpkinhead.
Papayas. Great Papaya. That's right. Rest in paradise to Pumpkinhead with Great Papayas and a group of MCs called like The Plague. And I remember being down there rhyming with them. Like I just remember the beginning. Like I was campaigning, man. But it wasn't. It wasn't for the record deal because I already had the deal, right? It was for, it was mainly just for just, I guess like just like, it was just exercise, man. Like that's that, where that whole lyrical fitness thing came from. I took it so seriously back then. I mean, all there was just rhymes and more rhymes, you know?
Yeah.
It was such a, it was, I look back on those times, it's like somewhat of a blur because responsibilities were just, I mean, can you imagine like your only responsibility being to just like really just rhymes
just write rhymes
as best as you could and be just as good as you could be like with rhymes. Like it's just
all the days probably blend together.
Yeah.
But how'd you get to the, you said, so you got the deal in 96 before you even started that. How did you get to the point of being able to get a deal with Universal?
So what happened was it was Lost Boys, right? I started with the Lost Boys. My partner at the time at Lost Boys, I was general manager of Group Home Entertainment, and Charles Suit was the head of Group Home Entertainment. And so what we did was we got a production deal for the Lost Boys on Universal. The production deal came with the ability to sign 3 acts a year, and there was like a biannual salary for that, and because of like some things that had happened, I was able to say, okay, well, you know what, I got to be the first artist to sign to the label through Group Home. And so it was agreed upon, and I inked a Universal through Group Home Entertainment. Weird enough, like nobody really knew that I could get busy like that, or I was going to, you know, get busy, or how serious I was, until right around 97 started rolling around. And from that campaigning that was going on in 96, it became more and more evident in 97 how serious I was. And then things started to snowball into, you know, this buzz and all that, man. And these were rhymes that I had probably in 94. I might have had these rhymes since 93 or 94. Because I graduated from high school in 92. So.
And did you graduate? Did you graduate in the DC area from high school? Where did you graduate from high school?
Pretty much. I 12th grade. I moved around a lot, but I do remember I graduated from Blazenburg. Yeah.
From Blazenburg.
Highville. Yep. There you go. Yes, sir. So, So those rhymes, man, I had those rhymes from a really young age, years before that. So a lot of stuff people were hearing, you know, it's just through So one thing I wanted to share with you though, Rosenberg, because I know you over the years you've been riding for me a lot, man. I never got a chance to say thank you. I pretty much definitely gun shy about it, knowing that I wasn't active as much, right, in the music. So I didn't want to like reach out to you and
yo.
Sometimes you got a real aggressive personality when you want to be, man. I didn't want to reach out and just act like, oh yeah, you know, let's hop to it. You know what I mean? I kind of wanted to just fall back, just fade away a little bit. And yeah, man, I never got a chance to say thank you for having my back sometimes. I appreciate that. But what people don't really know much about is, you know, I just wanted to get off the bench, Peter. Like I wasn't ever trying to, like, now they'll call like, oh yeah, this battle rapper. But I mean, now there's real battle rappers out there, right? Like people who that's all they do. They don't even try to make song format, or they're not even trying to write like in a poetic fashion about a topic. They're really battle rappers. But yeah. back then,
it's a totally different art form completely.
Yeah, but back then they called me the battle rapper. Now they call me the battle rapper. It's like, you know, I wish they kind of make up their mind. You know, I was trying to just get off the bench, rock with some of my favorites, you know, add on to rap like as a poet. You know what I mean? Like, it was the most innocent thing, boss. Like, it really was, man.
Well, but it seemed that way. Like to be honest, that's what I think struck with so many people was how clearly you came by it honestly. Like, you were trying to be the illest spitter in the game.
Right.
And what you developed was one of the biggest hypes that we had seen. Sife, yeah. I would say
original viral. You know what I mean? Before that term became so overused with social media, like, your shit was viral.
And how about this, Sife? I think the cannabis hype had been the biggest hypes for an artist before they dropped. It had been Nas was the last time we'd seen that.
Yeah.
Where people had talked about it beforehand, like,
so much
oh my
before,
God,
yeah.
oh my God. And it almost puts you in an impossible spot album wise.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm guessing, I've never talked to you, but my guess is that album must have been really hard to settle on what to do because it had been building so much.
Yeah, you're right, Peter. I mean, you think about it, and Cypher, you sort of witnessed it too, if you think about it. So at the time, there were so many producers, right, that were heavyweights at that time. Like, it wasn't like rap wasn't like a void of platinum producers or gold producers or just producers that were heavy hitters and heavyweights. Yeah. Like, producers were, Illmatic started it for producers, what Search mm-hmm. did with all that. It started that whole arms race for producers. At that point, everybody was asking, yo, who produced that? So who produced it? Who produced
right,
it?
Right.
That was after Illmatic. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what was going on. And, you know, I had been signed to the label since 96. The buzz started late 96, early 97. So that was a whole, and the record didn't come out till 98. So there was a long time that producers were trying to get on the record. But then I got with the Fugees, or I got with Clef and Jerry Wonder, Praz, and it became more and more difficult to get production from anyone else, right? Because those guys were like, you know, they were, you know, they, you know, 21 million sold, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's a hard check to beat, right? Like, you know, my label, the label, the heads at my label were kind of like, they wanted to see, you know, huge numbers. They wanted to see, so it's like, they didn't disturb, you know, like the greenhouse that Clef had going on, you know. I'm not blaming them at all or anything. I'm just saying that there was like, and they took me on the road, Clef, because there was a blackball going on at the time where promoters weren't necessarily booking me, right? So Clef took me on the road. Like, if it wasn't for Clef, I wouldn't have traveled on the road, man. Like, There were no shows coming in like they were supposed to be, right? The radio interviews, they weren't coming in like they were supposed to be, right? So being under Clef's wing, there was some protection there for me, man. You know what I'm saying? I never got to experience a first album under the auspices of, okay, this MC is out here. He's, you know, he's just trying to rhyme. And it's a good thing, y'all. Give him a shot. Because it looked like I had, like, assaulted an OG in the game. The other OGs were mad, too. And it's like, you know, they didn't care how it happened.
All of that drama, all of the blackballing and all that came from that, from dissing LL.
From LL?
I mean, of course. And I was young, man. I was 20. I was 21 years old, 22.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and, yeah, man. I mean, it's all history now. But it's funny. It's funny how, you know, you can't really, I mean, how many albums do I have now? Like, what, 15? You know what I mean? Like, probably talked about everything under the sun in poetry. And it just, that thing comes up all the time, man. You know what I mean? It's just like, wow, you know. I don't know. I'm just not really sure. It's so 1900s, man.
Well, here's let me ask you the hard basic question. And we do have to get in some of the details of it, but do you regret dissing LL?
I mean, so the question is this, right? The question is this. So if I didn't regret him, what was I supposed to do? Like, if I didn't regret him, like, well, the question is that if I didn't defend like the rap at the time that I knew what I thought was like my life, right, in music, what was I supposed to do then? I mean, nobody ever really answers that question. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Well, hold on, but I guess that would then beget another question, which is, what was the origin? Was the origin as simple as like you complimented the mic on his arm, and then he said something weird about you? So you know what I'm saying? Because that sort of begs the question of how did we get here? And then I can tell you what I think would have made sense.
Yeah, well,
this is a bunch of old guys living life for a long time, which what we think what would make sense in our brains now.
Right. And you were a kid.
Yeah.
Right. I was a kid.
Right. We were all kids. Then, right.
We were all kids. So, but then there were older guys that were older than us, though, right? And these older guys, you know, they saw opportunity to like kind of I don't know, man, like box a kid in and see how it was kind of like, you know, I'm talking about producers, you know what I'm saying? Like executive producers, people that are not even here anymore, bro. People who are dead. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like that managed and all that type of stuff. And they, you know, they no one wanted to stop it, man. They just wanted it to be a train wreck. You understand what I mean? Like no one wanted to talk to they folks and say, hey, you know, look, man, you can't work it out another way. They wanted to, I don't know, man, like just wreck the youngin', you know what I'm trying to say? And all I was really standing behind was like, you know, some rhymes and my faith at the time, you know, God praying, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Just a tiny little refuge, if you will, you know what I mean? Because remember, DMX and I were neck and neck for being on the cover of like a Vibe magazine or Blaze magazine or whatever the top media was at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And it was me and X. I think we had the two biggest publishing deals of the year that year, right? So, and that saved my bacon too, right? Like if I didn't get that publishing deal, man, like I wouldn't have been able to make it to 2000, you see? But then when I made it to 2000, you know, that had gotten folded because the same kind of group of people were saying, hey, you know, I got bosses too, cannabis. That contract you did, we can't cut you that check because we don't think you're going to recoup. Not you didn't recoup, but we don't think you're going to recoup, right? When I had a gold record, you know, 2000 BC was dope. The only reason I signed to, you know, that publishing company at the time was because I was told that I was going to have, you know, work to write for other artists. You know what I mean? Because while I was good at reading and writing and comprehension and my poetry was good, my voice was a little bit overbearing in one way or another. So I was always able to write for artists. You know what I'm saying? I do have like a couple writer's credits under my belt, but none of that stuff materialized because this group was so overbearing and so like all powerful. Right. And I'm sure like you guys are in the game. You guys know, you know, that type of stuff is out there. Like there is such thing as like a great white shark. You know what I mean? Like there's such a thing, you know, there's such a thing as like apex predators, man. Like nightmares are real on that side of things. You know what I mean?
100%.
And you guys 100%. are witness all that. So now when you fast forward to today, you know, when you look at sort of like what comes up, my name is mentioned or the name Cannabis is mentioned, you look, it's kind of like that stigma is still there, right? So the people, most of the people who were doing this and involved in all this, they're still alive, right? So you can't really expect me to have all the answers. I know what I've experienced. I know that a lot of other people experience somewhat the same thing. I mean, you know, the casualty list in hip hop is real long and real large. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, when I got into working at labels, you know, I'm a young kid on the radio in the clubs. Right. I get hired to be like the A&R consultant and the in-house DJ. And I'm learning how the inside works. And it was literally like stomach turning. It was disgusting how they talked about artists, how artists were just like numbers on a piece of paper that could be moved around however they felt. And I'm like, you know, I got empathy for people, and I'm like, I'm a human being. I'm like, how are we just treating people this way? You know what I mean? People who you've promised the world to. I remember the first time I was at Raucous Records, and I love Jared and Brian. And they're the first ones to teach me how recouping worked. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, we got Mos Def. If Mos Def, he got whatever, I'm making these numbers up. This is not actual fact, but he owns 12%. He gets 12% of his album sales or whatever. And we gave him $300,000 to do an album or whatever, $500,000. So I'm like, okay, so if he sells 1 million records, that's $8 million. 12% of 8 million is this. He should recoup within 200,000 records or whatever it is. And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. He got to recoup 500,000 from his 12%, not from 100%.
Right, yeah.
And my stomach dropped. And I'm like, oh, you're robbing niggas. Like,
right.
And like they're like, this is how it's always been. And I said, it shit literally hit me in the gut, like, oh, we're just commodity, like just things to be played with. And this, how can you ever make that money back? How could you ever? So it's just a cycle. Then I'm like, oh, advances are not really money you earned, it's money you're supposed to pay back and blah, blah, blah. And it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that shit really hurt me. But I was like, but I want to make music. I want to be in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Cypher, you're right. You're 100% right. Even today, right, if you're on iTunes or any one of those music digital retailers, the stipend or the royalty is like 0.00018, right? So if you sell like 10 million albums or something, or a million albums. If you have a million downloads, a million sales, I think the number is 35,000 USD off of a million sales. So, you know, nothing's really changed with that. But listen, no, that's the game. We sign up for it. You know, that goes along with it. I don't want to make it like I'm complaining about the music industry, because I'm definitely not, man. I feel like it's a blessing to even had any records out, to had been on an elite level. They made the investment up front to get you all over the world. I did travel. Right. I did have, you know, I had a blast insofar as like getting closer to my dream of being like, you know, having being influential with words like, for example, Rakim was, or G-Rap was, or, you know, Big Daddy Kane was, or K-Solo was, right? Or Redman was. Like, I wanted to be influential with my words. That's what I wanted. And that's what I ended up getting at the end of the day. How it happened was through a whole lot of fighting, and it was a lot of, and it shouldn't have been nearly that much of a fight, man, because, you know, I respected all those guys, man. You know, all of them. And like I said, man, you know, those things at play, though, you know, that stuff never changes, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The old guard, man. I'm saying but the like, old so guard.
So those people, all those people you just mentioned and more, like, how was it when you first met them and they were like, yo, you could rhyme, or your verse did this, or da-da-da-da-da, like,
so
Nas feel crazy.
Nas was really cool about it when I met Nas. G-Rap. I ended up working with G-Rap, you know, later on subsequent projects. Rakim was also like, I ended up working with him.
And you and Rakim were on Universal at the same time when he was dropped. You guys dropped within like 6 months of each other, right?
Yeah, I mean, so at the time it was a lady by the name of Jocelyn Cooper Gilstrap. And when I was tearing up the mixtapes and doing my thing, like, she called me in the office with another guy called Tabari. And she asked me, should I sign him? She asked me, Cannabis, I'm going to ask you a question. Like, you know, and I just want an honest answer. I said, sure. She said, should I sign Rakim, you know, to Universal? So my eyes lit up.
What?
I was like, yeah. But I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was talking about. So I tried to be serious. I said, absolutely. You should absolutely sign him there to Universal. I said, you know, yeah, you should absolutely sign him there. And, you know, but I was happy, you know what I mean? But that's what I said, like, you know. But,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like, why. You must have been like, how are you asking me about Rakim? That's crazy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like I said, I didn't, my answer wasn't so excited that it looked as if I didn't know what I was talking about. So I tried to keep a poker face on. And I said, you should absolutely sign him. But my eyes lit up and gave it away. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted
to. But you always, that. I feel like your brand was partially seeming very serious. You know, like, your tone on record is very serious. Like, I love, I we're going to play some stuff. I have countless moments of yours that I love, but it didn't always sound like you were having fun necessarily. It sounded like you were destroying people. Like, I want to destroy everything.
I mean, blame it on Onyx, man. Onyx was bald headed. They was running around. They was, you know, they was telling, like, everybody to throw them things in the air. Like, Onyx got away with all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, why didn't I get away with it? Onyx.
Listen, it worked. It worked for me,
like,
bro.
Onyx was dope, right? Onyx was dope, but Onyx was talking crazy, right or wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And Onyx got away with it.
And by the way, you didn't talk. It's not like you talked crazy in an actual physical threatening violence
right, right.
way. You just talked crazy about eating people, you know, eating MCs. I remember, Sife, I guess, would you say this was the original jump off for you, Cannabis, from a song standpoint? Was this?
Showers heavy at times with occasional today.
You're last, right, Cannabis?
Yeah.
Of course he is. Let's jump way ahead. Hold up. Fuck y'all, you don't impress me and no one can test me. The MC so ill, I got any scared to catch me. All that shit you poppin' will stop when I put you in a headlock and apply pressure till I crush your motherfucking noggin. I grab mics and push niggas to the left so fast they hearts end up on the right sides of the chest. My hypothesis is that nobody can see this lyrical genius. I got it sold like a seamstress. But if you want a battle, I'm down. If you got nine
nine lives. I take eight of them off your hands right now. Step up and get your neck cut from ear to ear. If you survive, then you can cover your scar with a beard. I'm the illest from Queens to the New Jerusalem, the British. Anyone who ain't feeling my shit, it can suck my dick. You need to quit it if you ain't spitting more than 50 bars per minute, cause you ain't a lyrical fitness. Kicking boring raps with metaphors. This whack, all of your motherfuckers need more than track to get you
right there,
up.
Sife, those bars right there, you're honestly, you and that bag, man, it's like you and Pun. There's only Eminem. To me, there's only a handful of people, G-Rap, who were able use syllables the way you do.
What's the famous picture? It's Mos.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Sife.
It's Mos, Pun, you. Who else is in that picture?
I'm going to show it to you. I have it sitting right here for
Mike
you.
Geronimo.
No, this one.
Yeah, that one is crazy.
Forte, Mos, X, Pun, and you.
Jesus. Where was that?
It's one of the little restaurants where that would have been downtown somewhere.
In New York?
Yeah. Sure.
It's a diner.
Yeah, for sure.
Why y'all put Pun in the corner like that, yo? This nigga can't fit in the
corner.
It's actually Forte and X in the corner.
Yeah, you get up from over there.
Oh, that's the outside.
So you get up from over there. Yeah, man.
What was this lunch, though? What was this?
So they ended up calling it the Round Table. I'm not really sure if, like, Torre set it up or what, but I think Torre was the one that had the footage. It was, like, Torre's thing. Like, Torre.
Oh, it was something being filmed.
Yeah, Torre.
Yeah, it was an interview. Yeah.
Oh,
it was for an article, right?
Oh, I see.
He recorded this, though, because this is, like.
Yeah, there's video.
Yeah, and Torre, man, the same dude, Torre, the little dude with the afro, man. He's, you know, he looks the same now.
Yeah,
he's
still out here
doing it. Yeah, Torre, he made us sign releases and stuff. And
that's crazy.
This thing's been, like, making the rounds for, what is it, 20, how many years, man? 25, 26 years, 23 years.
You ever had this, have you ever had this framed in your house?
I don't know, bro.
Sife, you know how fast I'd have this framed in my house?
I mean, hell no.
This is iconic, yo. This is iconic. So then, like that group right there, crazy.
So then the NFT. Well, you know what? It's iconic. I hear you, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of, there's tearjerkers in there for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you just.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the things that we thought we knew then, man, and we were just like, we didn't have a clue, bro. Not even a clue, boss. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it, man.
It makes you sad. So you look back, you see that, and you see the person you were then, and you see mistakes that you made, et cetera, when you look at it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I also see, like, we lost a couple of those brothers there, right? And so, you know, short of their potential, too. Like, we lost them short of their potential, right? We didn't get everything we could have gotten from them, you know? And you know, their families didn't get everything they could have gotten from them, right?
Right.
And so, right. See, that's why when you play Beats from the East, that was a 20... Well, I know I wrote those rhymes. A lot of those rhymes were written before I was even 21. I wrote a lot of those rhymes. But you're talking about... That was just ignorance, naive, a lot of, you know, just a lot of testosterone, man. Like, I mean, I was a virgin till I was 19, man. you know what I mean? Like, I'm all caught up now, right? I'm all caught up now, but
it took you time.
I still had a lot going on, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the hormone department, man. Like, those rhymes, man, it's not how I would write poetry today, you know what I mean? But what can I say, man? Like, I was looking for...
You should not be... Listen, you should still have pride in it, though, Biss. You should... You did it in a... It was beautiful. Like, you really do have bars as... You might hear them now and think, like, oh, what was I saying?
Yeah.
But the way you did it, I still get chills when I hear these. Wow. Like, you want to place... You want to play someone like what really rapping is, going hard, like, in a specific way, right? It's not all the same, but in a specific... You want to impress someone? There are records of yours that I would say, yo, this eats anyone alive. Like, you're, it's a limited group, man.
Yo, Jamal.
Did you and Marshall ever talk? Did you and Eminem ever? Because that is a name that comes to mind when I think of you.
Yeah,
too.
So, you know, we have spoken before. One of the elements that were there while we were talking is also, like, no longer with us, right? So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a weird thing, too. It's like, there's just so much weirdness that went on, man. Like, I'm just trying to tell you, man, like, this joint wasn't like nothing in the movies, man, that they show where it's like even the, so I watched the Wu-Tang biopic, right? Serious biopic, dope. There's a lot going on in it. But, you know, all the members came out, right? All the members came out, like, you know, Wu-Tang made a lot of noise, right? Wu-Tang made a whole lot of noise, right? You watch the biopic, and it's like, I mean, considering the amount of troops that were in that, you know what I mean? You know, that they had, like, I think they did pretty well. I think the casualty rate was real good, right? You know,
yeah. It was pretty good.
And then you got other teams where, you know, different type of things, man, and you know. I think that hip hop, I just think that there's a real naive spirit in hip hop, man. And, you know, and it just got more and more dumbed down. I guess it's the way it's supposed to be right now. You know what I mean? In the beginning, it used to be a communicatory, pastime, man. We used to communicate to each other, man. Like, we, you know, I hadn't been to the West Coast until 96, but I knew about the West Coast through the music that was coming out from there. So that's how I was able to tell what it was like before I got there. And, you know, we used to communicate to each other about everything through hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, the temperature, you could find out what the temperature of anywhere in the country was by listening to what kind of rhymes were coming out of the mouths of the youth. Mm. And it's not like that anymore. Now, I'm not to say that it's a bad thing, but they don't really use it just to communicate now. Now it's used for a lot of, you know, it's even beyond advertising, right? It's somewhere else. I'm not complaining about it, man. I love it, man. These little young, if everybody loves it, they loves it. It's cool with me, man. All I'm pretty much trying to do now is just, you know, when the sun sets on your, you know, when sunsets on your stone, you want things to read the way that they really were and not the way that someone has paid for them to read. You know what I'm trying to say? And that's just, mm-hmm. that's just inherent in any man. Any man's going to want that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, until he gets that, you're not going to be satisfied. You want things to read the way that they really were and not the way that someone has.
And so reading between the lines here, that makes me feel that what you're saying is you don't feel that the story that exists on cannabis is actually the way that it was to the
Thank
mainstream.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenberg. No, because if you go and you look in the Google and you type in my name, the things that come up, that's not what it was all about. That's not it. Like, what you're playing right now. So Beast from the East was so impactful. You're saying, right? Well, then where is it? On the front page of Google when my name comes up, right? Where is it, right? No, you see what I'm saying? It's not there.
It's definitely not on
the front page. You get where I'm coming from? So what's really, right? And so that's the part that I'm talking about with, like, people just naive. But, you know.
No, the things that we love, especially me and Rosenberg and the WANEP community, the things that we love are not on the front page.
Right.
None of it.
Right.
None of it.
Although I will say, let's just be clear, though. Like, I imagine that some of the things that come up on that first page are 4-3-2-1 and second round knockout. And I do want to say that there's a lot of value to that, too. I mean, you murdered 4-3-2-1. And second round KO was fired.
So do this. Let's look it up real quick. This is important to me. Let's look it up on Google. What comes up?
Just cannabis?
Why? You put in cannabis, but now you have to put in cannabis. What? Rapper, though, because back
like
then,
rapper?
I was the only one. You know,
you were the only cannabis.
Well, I'll say this, though. I'm going to say this, and this is going to be a weird one, but you already know. The reason why The reason why we all celebrate March 9th, the reason why we all know Biggie's death day, rest in peace to the greatest, is because of your line.
Right.
Like, that's not going to come up on Google. That's right. In the culture.
Right.
The reason why I don't know when Tupac's death day is. It has to come up on my Instagram.
Right.
I don't know when certain rappers' death day is. Well, nor should I. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the reason why the whole world knows March 9th is a day to remember is because of what you said, man. And that's crazy. It's not the impact I'm sure you thought you would have on the world or what you wanted it to be. But that is a part of hip-hop. A segment that you left where we get to, we don't even have to be reminded ever. That line was like, woo.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, it's interesting. And that comes from the battle. That line is you taking a shot at LL because he says greatest of all time. You said, no, the greatest of all time died on March 9th. So like even within that battle, that is still a significant and positive thing that comes out of that forever. You know what I mean? So there is a I just don't want you to ever. It just seems like it's all very like sort of heavy for you because it's so loaded with the way the story is told.
Yeah, because they know what I'm.
And I'm just telling you, don't let the bullshit that happened around it and the sort of basic conversations that existed afterwards negate the thing that we lived through.
Yeah.
And like that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast and have us, because for me and Cypher, your big run, because obviously you've put out a shitload of music since then, but your big run that everyone followed, that was a positive thing. That was a great fucking run. I understand how that story could get tainted and now feel shitty to you as a person who has to deal with all those things, right? Like, I know when someone mentions something like that was not positive in my life or ended negatively, it feels shitty, but don't look past all the great shit that came from it, because there's a lot of fire in there.
It's hard to see it from our point of view, because I know you lived it and you know everything that happened, because it literally was your life. But like things that are probably minute to you, I don't even like the beach, right? I don't like the beach.
Right.
But anytime my foot touches sand, I think of you running with Mike Tyson on a beach. You know what I mean? Like, because that's the hardest thing you could do is run on sand. You know what I mean? And
Cannabis, man, what's up, man? Never comes to mind, bro.
Right. It's so weird. Like, and I don't really go to the beach a lot. I always wear sneakers on the beach. That's my thing.
That is hilarious, Scythe. That's.
But like when I touch sand, I go, yo, remember him running in the sand? Like,
Let the world know the truth. You don't want me to shine. You study my rhyme, then you lay your vocals at the mind. That's a bitch move. Something that a homo rapper would do.
Yo, Biss, is that some like operatic shit in the background?
That's some. Yeah, that's the Russian Army Corps, man. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and
it's like you hear it, right? Yeah. Here, you think I'm gonna let it play for another second.
You platinum, you only dropping clues. I studied your background, read the book that you wrote, researched your footnotes about how you used to sniff coke, frying like a drug free role model. You disgust me. I know bitches that see you smoke weed recently. You walk around showing off your body because it sells. Plus, to avoid the fact that you ain't got scales. Mad at me because I kick that shit real, niggas spell. 199% of your fans wear high heels. From Ice T to Kumo D to Jay Z. Now you wanna fuck with me? You must be crazy. You dripping with wax.
like juice, and you can't get it off. You better be prepared to finish what you start, nigga.
You just hold it right there. We got an illegal.
It's like this never happened until Drake did back to back. This had never happened, right, where you had like a real record.
Yeah, like
that was just the whole thing was a slaughter.
Maybe that's a bad thing, though. Why was it the single? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And by the way, it could have been
out. It could have been out doing what it did, but then the single was like a record. You know, a song.
Did you want it to be a single? Or was that a label move? Of like, hey, let's go with this thing.
I was all with it when all that was going on. I was with it because it was my counter. I was countering what was going on. You know what I mean? That was my counter. I mean, yeah, man. You know, I get it, man. I get it. If the tables were turned and somebody came at me like that, man, I'd have been so freaking pissed, man. I'd have been so vexed, man. You'd have been so mad, you know, especially if they did it at a time when I wasn't even really rhyming like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was doing other things, you know what I mean? I was distracted. I was rhyming like that. Like, I get it. I went too hard in the paint.
You better give me the respect that I deserve, or I'ma take it by force. Blast you with a 45 cord, make you somersault, shock you with a couple hundred thousand volt thunderbolts. Before you wanted the war, now you wanna talk. It's about who strikes the hardest, not who strikes first. That's why I laugh when I hear that whack ass verse. That shit was the worst rhyme I ever heard in my life, cause the greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. God bless his soul, rest in peace, kid. It's because of him, now at least I know what beef is. It's not what I would call this.
See, this is something different.
A faggot nigga trying to make a living over dissing. Somebody that he gotta know is better than him, but he feeling himself cause he got more cheddar than him. Well, let me tell you something. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me. Whoa. And if you really wanna show off, we could get it on live in front of the cameras on your own sitcom. I'll let you kick a verse.
Fuck it, I'll let you kick them all.
I'll even wait for the studio audience to applaud. Now watch me rip the tap from your arm. Kick you in the groin. Stick you for your Vanguard award in front of your mom. Your first, second, and third born. Make your wife get on the horn. Call Minister Farrakhan so he can persuade me to squash it. I say, nah, he started it. He forgot what a hardcore artist is. A hardcore artist is a dangerous man, such as myself. Trained to run 20 miles in soft sand.
That's you, Sy.
On the off land. Programmed to kick hundreds of balls off land from a lost and forgotten land. You done did it, man. You done spit it some wax shit it and probably thought that because it's been a minute, I forget.
Fuck that.
Cause like Common and Cube, I see the bitch in you. And I'ma make the world see you too, motherfucker.
Yeah, dang. You brought up the bitch in you too. Cause that had been sort of the standard. The bitch in you was kind of the standard for actually. I forgot that one too in the list of records that was just a straight up assault.
Yeah, Common went busy. But then Ice Cube, but then all those guys, like they kind of got away with it, you know? They did the spanking and got away with it. You know what I mean? My world, man. That thing. I mean, you're playing it right now. I'm 40.
So it just kept following you.
I mean, look at it, man. I'm 47. I got salt and pepper up here, man.
Hairline's still pretty good. Though. Hairline's still pretty good.
Okay, so yeah, I still got salt and pepper. Like, you know.
Let's talk about another record, by the way, Saif, I don't know the last time you heard this, but this shit right here was ringing on the college radio scene when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Joseph Stalin.
Yeah!
I'm about to make the name Common Sense, the name you fear. Y'all niggas are scared. I'm your worst nightmare.
Saif, a lot of people listening are going to be like, God damn, I forgot how nice cannabis was. We're going to have a lot of people digging shit up right now.
That's double for niggas who ain't mathematically aware.
Yo,
I can tell by how you write. You the type to run in a fight. I hold mics while you hold spike.
Common's another artist who, as lauded as he is for being great and people love him and he's rich and famous, people still don't talk about him musically the right way. He doesn't get what he should get either,
honestly. He's underrated he's for sure. But Rashid, but like, yeah.
Here you go. Hold on, bitch. One thread at a time, so you niggas need to stop testing me. Cause you know you can't F with me, stepping in me with superior weaponry. Exposing yourself to the verbal radiation. Saying you can defeat me is nothing but speculation. Lyrics unravel faster than bullets travel through barrels. Niggas be digging my styles like fossils and pterodactyls. Who won the battle? I'm bad to the bone marrow. The earth got one sun, but I walk with three shadows. With a law, my supernatural bodyguard. Niggas couldn't touch me if they gave me a massage. MCs who compete with lyrics and beats get crushed. I hit you in your chest so hard your shoulders will touch. What?
Comment.
What?
Jesus.
This is, you always had a line that cracked me up on this record when you said you talked about fucking chicks off the internet and said, see if I click and drag long enough, I'll get the ass.
A long time ago, huh? Yeah.
A long time ago. Yo, do you consider yourself the first? Do you consider yourself the first internet rapper? Or do you think that's like made up?
All right, so I'm not, you said I was louder than that, but I'm not really sure who else was out there doing that. I know that during that time, we're talking about 97 to 98, there was a company that did internet traffic. It was Alexa or Lexus. And it was 18, something like
Lexus
that.
Lexus?
And it was 18
yeah, yeah.
million hits.
It was Lexus Texas.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was.
Not a Lexus Texas. Right? I think it was Lexus Nexus. Okay, wait, there were 18 million hits on what?
.com from September 97 to September 98. And I don't know. Yeah. Well,
at that time. And
you know, that was...
Those are big numbers.
No one really had machines back then. I don't know where those machines... A lot of them was from Europe. But it wasn't a lot of people. I know people from the hip-hop community didn't have no computers like that back then. So...
How did you get into
it?
How did you become a computer guy?
You're a DMV guy too, right? So I worked for AT&T down in Lafayette in 1919, and the FCC down in Searcy, like doing filings and stuff like that for the FCC. Worked for AT&T and with the guys out in the field that I was given a laptop. And I had to dial in on the modem, and I had to get the service tickets that these guys were performing out in the field, and I had to transfer the server tickets from physical hard copy there in the office, like into the internet on the site where they were performing the work, and then I had to go ahead and confirm that work was done. Every time one of the techs from the field reached back, so they were using computers for that, the modem. Modem in the laptop, IBM ThinkPad. And so I had one of those for work, and I started messing around with that, learning how to use a word processor with that. And then I went ahead and bought my own, and then the rest is history, man, because when I bought my own, I just got immersed in what the thing could do. You know what I mean? It's kind of like how when everybody got into cell phones and what they can do now. That's how it was for me with the IBM ThinkPad back then. Like it could do everything. Like I was online. Yo, listen, I'm telling you two this. People thought that I got my rhymes from the computer. I was getting my rhymes from the internet. You didn't understand that like the internet had places to go. They didn't know. Like they'd see me come in there. I opened the lappy up and they thought in rap, like all the, you know, the dudes in the hood, everybody. I mean, I was born in Jamaica. I'm from a third world country that's hood too. But for some reason, these dudes thought that I was getting my music from the computer. They didn't understand that the internet would have places that you could go.
Said, you were just typing in rap. You were just typing in rap.
There was
lyrics.
No Google. There was no nothing. No, so my but look at rap. Look at the world now, though. Like they're all on computers, aren't they? And they're pretty savvy with it, aren't they?
Everybody.
Yeah. So
yeah,
bro, my boy.
So
Jamal,
yeah, now it's possible.
You know, Jamal is my brother. Jamal is like my best friend since '96, whatever. So Jamal was in the whole Charles Soup group home camp. He used to road manage A+ and then Cannabis. And Jamal tells me Cannabis stories all the time, bro. Like that's Jamal is his.
Right.
His heyday of when he had the most fun in life was those days, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, yo, Cannabis used to have this big ass laptop and like nobody knew what the fuck he was doing. It was strange. It was strange for like a normal person to just have a laptop out and about.
Yeah. Right. No one had laptops yet.
You know what I mean? Like you had a computer at work to do your whatever data processing
entry,
or whatever.
Yeah,
data
yeah.
But like he had a, and then he was like, yo, he was going to all these crazy sites where we didn't even know what a site was. You know what I'm saying? Like, we take it for granted now, but these words were like,
yeah, you know, and that's the thing, right? So I, by you saying that, Jamal, that's deep. I love Jamal, man. Jamal was always, you could always count on an honest answer coming from Jamal. You know what I mean? You could always count on that. And Jamal took me to a lot of studios. Jamal took me to, you know, like Paradise, you know what I mean? Up there, mp3.com. Jamal was with me, man. We were pounding the pavement all over like the city. You know what I mean? The Great Papaya stuff. Jamal was down there with me with the plague and all that, with Pumpkinhead and all that. Jamal was down there with me. Jamal was the one in the studio to always be like, you know, yeah, forget about that 60 bar stuff, Joe. Give me them bars, man. Cause remember, we was all young, right? Jamal used to want to hear the bars. So those parts of it was good, right? You know. However, there were things with the computers and all that that I knew that I was a little bit more savvy at that time and ahead with the tech compared to, you know, our own ethnicities, right? The people who we hung with. And so I was kind of looking for somebody to, you know, look for my expertise there and not just the rap and, you know what I'm saying, trying to spank people on record. Because I could have done a lot of things back then with what I knew. You know, all that stuff got pushed to the wayside later on because now I'm not no tech whizzy now. But at the time, man, there were a lot of things I could have put the folks on to. And it just, the narrative got grabbed and it just ran in a direction.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the problem when you're really good at multiple things. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are not really good at multiple things. A lot of people are good at one or two things if they're lucky. And you had a couple things that you were really good at. So then it was like, well, how do we make money? We signed you as a rapper, so that's what we're going to try to focus on. But if they knew better, they'd be like, oh,
can
this
I ask
is
you
a
guys
whole
a huge favor?
League.
All right, Cypher, let's continue this Cannabis episode on Patreon. I think we have to.
Okay.
But hold on. I do need you guys to know the stuff we're going to get to at the end. I don't want to say it's the best part, but I feel like you should check out the Patreon.
Join us. Join the dark side.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.